Are you ready or what?
Why don't you switch on the radio?
Give the people what they want, and they go away happy.
It's the opposite of fabulous. You know what I'm saying? It's the synonym of ridiculous.
Okay, I get it. I ain't pleasant to look at.
Or listen to.
Or be with.
How do we allow them to have a radio station?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host.
It's the Joe and Alex Show.
It's showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Oh my God, like it hit me today. It hit me. It's like, holy crap, it's already Wednesday.
Woohoo!
I mean, when you got a four-day work week, life is good. 6:10, it is the Joe and Alex Show. Good Wednesday morning. Today, hot, humid, and isolated storms are possible. High of around 92. It could feel even warmer. Be careful out there if you're outside doing some activities later. Maybe got the pets, you're walking them, your cat, your dog, your gerbil, your snake. Whatever you got on a leash out there, make sure they're hydrated. It's going to be humid and hot. And Thursday, kind of the same thing. Scattered storms, high of around 85. So I guess it's a little bit cooler, but when's winter going to get here? Am I right?
No, stop. You're not right at all.
I mean, we got the pumpkin spice latte. I mean, I'm loving that. But...
No.
Oh, okay. Well, how are you doing this morning, Alex?
I'm still upset.
About what?
About the new Bachelor pick. I'm very, very upset over it. The garbage is coming up in a few minutes. We are going to get into it, but I am just not happy.
Why are you hating?
I don't like him.
You haven't even met him.
I don't like him.
I don't care.
I'm not into it. I think he is a horrible pick. This is like the third pick in a row that's been awful. So weirdly, the last like three picks have also been from Indianapolis. So I don't know if that has something to do with us and there's something going on in the water here or what. But we are not producing very good Bachelor picks, Indy.
Wow. So that was your whole day yesterday, just
stewing.
In dismay. Okay. I could smell the stew. Liv the Web Girl, how was your day yesterday?
It was fine, but I'm struggling this morning. I spilled cold cantaloupe juice on my leg in the car, and then I spilled hot burning coffee on my hand once I got here. So I'm just on the struggle bus.
All right. Let's have a serious conversation. Liv, are you on drugs right now? What's going on? Like, we're worried about you.
Honestly, I kind of wish. Maybe it would be more entertaining. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm just a klutz.
So what was worse, the cold cantaloupe juice or melon juice or the hot coffee?
So the hot coffee hurt more, but the cantaloupe juice went all over my car and I couldn't escape it.
Ooh, isn't that a rental car? Worse.
It is.
I mean, we don't have to get into
the rental van.
Do
the people that got the rental van, do they listen? Do they know who you are?
There's not a chance.
Well,
they do.
You know what? It isn't a minivan unless you got spilt food all over it. So,
that's true. You're
so
just
really,
like a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a mom. It's a mom driving a minivan. So now you fit right in. You've christened it.
Wow. I'm so happy to be a mom, guys.
There you go. Who would have thought that Liv would have been the first one to get knocked up on the show here with that cantaloupe juice? Well,
what's new with you, Joe?
You know what? I haven't been complimented yet, but hey, it takes everybody time.
Oh, did you trim your beard up?
How do I look?
Better than before, still not good enough.
Okay, I've been told that my whole life. Sounds like my father. No, I'm good. I went yesterday after the show and just did a bunch of crap. Went to therapy. Then after that, went to a Wharfleys, saw my guy Nick, got my beard trimmed up. And
how long did you spend talking about me versus Liv the Web Girl in therapy?
Yesterday, what might have been a first, because I complain about you two all the time at therapy, just because I get stressed out.
I know he's not even kidding. He's not kidding.
No, he's being dead serious.
No, I mean, I love you guys. It doesn't mean I don't. I mean, people go to therapy and complain about ones they love all the time. But no, I actually swear I didn't talk about you at all. Actually, I did. I brought up Liv the Web Girl, and I realized, real quick, this is behind the scenes, did I kind of piss you off yesterday towards the end of the show off the air? Talking about?
A little bit.
Okay, I thought I did.
No.
It's kind of inside stuff.
Talking
there.
About what?
I was trying to offer advice, but it came out, it's like, I care about people, and it's because of stuff I've went through.
And advice on what? Because I don't know the car situation.
On car buying, I offered something, but it probably came off like as a bad opinion. But only reason I did that is because I do that too much. I kind of realize is I take my personal experiences because I care about people and I worry about them and I project them onto them. And
okay,
I got to let other people live their life and do their thing.
Because people listening have no idea what we're talking about. So after the show yesterday, Liv was just basically talking about what kind of car she thinks she's going to buy because she totaled her car. She's driving a rental van and now she's got to go
with cantaloupe juice all over it.
With cantaloupe juice and now she's got to go find a new car. And so Joe just was giving his opinion on what she should and shouldn't do.
Right. And see, but that wasn't the first thing. I think you got a little annoyed with me at one point because I was stressed with the phones because our phones were blowing up. And so I was trying to do two things at once. And I think you got kind of like stressed with that and you kind of like snapped a little bit, which I get. I get sometimes that happens in the morning show because it moves so fast. So that was the second thing. But I love you. And this,
I love you
fine.
Too.
This is called...
I don't know what we're yelling about! Loud noises!
This is called bonus therapy for Joe.
I talk to people. We really should do like a 10 or 15 minute podcast after the show and just talk about the real stuff.
I think we would scare a lot of people away.
I think we'd fill up 2 hours worth.
Okay. we already do talk about the real stuff in the whole show. That's what sometimes, you know, I think grinds people's gears about us is we get a little real up in here.
But so that was I did yesterday. I got the beard trimmed up and then I freaked out. Finally, you replied to me yesterday. I sent like 5 photos of the only shirts I have that are kind of dressy because we have our kind of staff school photos today.
Yeah, I got to go. I'm not wearing this for the headshots,
but I based everything around that.
I gotta go. I'm gonna go home. We don't have to come back till 2 o'clock this afternoon, so I'm gonna go home and change. And I bought like 5 different things and only one of them fit. So well I have a sequin floor length kimono, like giant sequins. It's very extra. It's like
pretty much
thing.
Just a long robe sweater thing. Robe thing.
And so it's like it touches the floor and it's filled with sequins. Do you think that's too extra?
Are we going
for the
to
picture?
A ball? I thought we were going to like snap photos. Don't
it's
think...
fun. It's very rock star fun. We're in radio. Woohoo!
Then wear it, girlfriend.
You don't think it's going to look bad like with everybody?
No, I don't think so. But I'm telling you, I'm not changing what I'm wearing because I already picked it out.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a black jumpsuit. Because you said black would work with what your color scheme you're going for.
Uh-huh.
It's like a black jumpsuit, and then it has an off-the-shoulder white shirt underneath.
Right, because I told the staff exactly how to do their outfits based around mine, because I'm the most important person on the show.
You can call us by our name. We're like, we're not the staff. We're Joe and Liv. Yeah. My employees that I work with, I told them, you know what I mean?
I'm just kidding. But it just, you know, that's just how it goes when you're a girl. You end up kind of taking charge of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I gotta show Alex the respect.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
All right, I will do that.
It's the Joe and Alex Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
Nike stocks are down after the company announced its new ad campaign featuring Colin Kaepernick. Nike shares are down over 3% in the pre-market. That is a loss of over $4 billion in market capitalization since the market closed on Friday. Indianapolis native and sports journalist Jason Whitlock on Fox Sports One thinks that Colin Kaepernick is being used by progressives as a pawn to take down the NFL. He said the NFL is seen as the ultimate snake of toxic masculinity and they want it destroyed.
The NFL is the number one show on 5 television networks, which makes it the most powerful force in pop culture, mm-hmm. which makes it the most powerful symbol of toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. The NFL, when it was invented, and all the way up through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, no one ever imagined that the NFL would become the greatest thing in pop culture, and the stars of the NFL would be 70% black.
One of the largest police organizations in the nation, the NAPD, is blasting Nike for the new Colin Kaepernick ad campaign. A statement from the National Association of Police Organizations, which represents more than 241,000 officers, said, "Oh, Nike, you are so brave. Holding up Colin Kaepernick as an example of someone who has sacrificed everything. Right. Coming over to Arlington National Cemetery or to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., or to the trauma unit of a military hospital if you want to learn the meaning of sacrifice and why our flag means something to so many." The NAPD is now calling for a boycott of all Nike products.
Let's boycott everything. Ah!
Cardi B's physical issues following the birth of her daughter, Culture, might have been more serious than she initially let on. According to court documents obtained by The Blast, Cardi is asking the court for more time to turn over documents and schedule her deposition as part of an ongoing lawsuit where the rapper is being sued over an album cover. In the documents, her attorneys say that they need the time because Cardi gave birth to a baby girl in mid-July but has suffered unanticipated postpartum complications sufficiently serious enough to cause her, among other things, to have to cancel an upcoming and much-publicized tour performing with Bruno Mars. Demi Lovato is selling her Hollywood Hills, California home after she suffered an apparent overdose at the house in July. The home is now up for sale for $9.49 million and includes four bedrooms and six bathrooms. According to the listing, the swanky private estate has a pool, a bar, media room, and is just minutes away from the Sunset Strip.
Ooh, and easy access for drug dealer friends to sneak in.
That's right. After a woman snapped a picture of former Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens for working at a Trader Joe's and posting it online, people began to job shame the actor. The picture and post went viral and sparked controversy. Jeffrey Owens played Elvin Thibodeau, who married Sandra Huxtable on the famous Cosby Show. At first, he said he was devastated when people job shamed him.
I mean, I was really devastated, yeah. But it lasted. It was the period of devastation was so short, because so shortly after that, the responses, my wife and I started to read these responses from, like, literally all over the world of support. And so fortunately, the shame part didn't last very long. It hurt. But then it's amazing.
Jeffrey Owens may have a new job, though looks like director Tyler Perry offered him a job on a show for Oprah Winfrey's cable network OWN after he appeared on Good Morning America. Owens has since quit the job due to unwanted attention, but Perry asked the actor to come join us on his hit drama. He tweeted, "I have so much respect for people who hustle between gigs, the measure of a true artist." This is what Jeffrey Owens had to say about comparing people's jobs.
I hope what doesn't pass is this rethinking about what it means to work. The honor of the working person and the dignity of work. And I hope that this period that we're in now, where we have a heightened sensitivity about that and a reevaluation of what it means to work and a reevaluation of the idea that some jobs are better than others, because that's actually not true.
That's the garbage.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Oh, Liv the Web Girl, there's so much she doesn't know. We try to teach her, but nothing sticks. She might be dumber than Joe. Dumber than Joe. Dumber than Joe.
Dumber than Joe. Okay, we get it.
Liv, what are the midterm elections?
Those are politics. But I think it's when it's like in the middle of someone's term and people don't think that they're doing well. So then there's a council that's like, well, because people aren't saying you're doing that great, we're going to have like this city like vote. To see if maybe you can finish out your term, or I don't know. I don't get it.
And that's another thing that Liv the Web Girl doesn't get. Wow. I mean, that's just amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing how much she just doesn't know.
And now it's time for Joe's Need to Know News. The Pacers rewarded coach Nate McMillan with a multi-year contract extension. He's helped the Pacers go to two straight playoff appearances, which is awesome. I mean, playoffs are better than no playoffs.
Yeah, what he said.
This blows my mind how this all happened, but the $400,000 raise for that homeless guy on that GoFundMe page, the money's gone.
This is horrible.
This is just a cluster. The attorney for a homeless man in Pennsylvania fighting a couple in court over the proceeds of a GoFundMe campaign said all the money, yeah, that was raised, it's no longer there. Last week, a judge ordered the couple to hand over $400,000 that they raised through their GoFundMe campaign. Now, it started, if you don't remember, after the homeless vet gave the woman his last $20 after she was stranded without gas. The gesture led to viral fame, including the GoFundMe campaign, raising, as we mentioned, more than $400,000 from 14,000 different people donating. But the lawyer for the man said the couple called him and told him, the money's all gone. So they're having a hearing in the case now. How could it all be gone?
How do you live with yourself? How do you sleep at night when you do something like that to somebody like that? You know what I mean?
No, I totally get it. And this is such a great thing that the guy did. Listen, I'm not saying he needed $400,000, but that's what happened. So that's what happened. Don't take it away from him. How would you feel if we only did a four-day work week?
I would be very much for that, yes.
Okay, I'm down with that too. According to a new study, workers feel like they're wasting their time on unnecessary tasks throughout the workday and could completely, you know, get their job done in just a fewer hours and fewer days. 34% of people identified 4 days as the ideal work length. I think so too. I think our show could be a little bit better if it was longer than just 4 days.
I would be fine with that. I'll go till noon. If we could only do 4 days, then I would stay here till noon. I mean, on the air till noon.
was gonna say, like, that's like a world record if you did stay that long, but
yeah, I don't know if people want to listen to us for that long.
I think people do.
I would like to think that they do. Personally, so
we're full of ourselves enough that we know what people like and what they need. Let's see here. 75% of people responding to it claimed they've got enough time in their day to finish the major tasks, but nearly 90% of workers said they'd lose hours each day helping other people out. Like, oh gosh, fine, Liv, I'll show you how to do that.
Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm out if that's what it involves.
Yeah, I'm not going to help other people. And can we talk about some real stuff here? The chicken tenders Coke dipper lady, she's speaking out now. Do you remember this?
Lock her up.
Lock her up.
Lock her up.
I don't know what you're talking about. But in a moment that's gone viral at the U.S. Open fan, her name's Alexa Greenfield, explained why she was caught on camera dunking her chicken tenders into her Coca-Cola.
It starts with me saying to my three nephews, listen, I'm going to do something really weird right now. It's a secret. Don't tell your parents. Don't tell any adults, okay? I'm embarrassed by this, so you guys can't tell anyone. And my sister was away getting their food, so I was like trying to do it quickly before she came back. So I was like, guys, keep this between us. I'm embarrassed. And then this cameraman just catches it.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know if I believe that either. She looked pretty unashamed to me.
So where did she get this idea from?
My dad was like, it'll cool it off if it was too hot.
Ew.
I guess that's where it started. But I really like the taste, I swear. I've considered, like, trying to make a sauce or a dip or some type of condiment, like Coca-Cola flavored. It's really actually good.
I think, like, the sweet syrupy taste of Coke or Pepsi would work, but I'm visualizing now, what is it called, like, backwash? What's that, like, that we hate? Like, I hate that when that gets in a drink, you know, like, you have, like, Cheetos, so he's got the backwash in their
Stop.
Mountain Dew.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so gross. Because, like, I don't think it'd be gross if you had, like, a side dipping cup. Like, oh, I'm going to dip my chicken tender or my chicken nugget into that. But then the breadcrumbs or whatever's on there, the stuff, would get into that. And then you're supposed to drink that. I know it all goes into the same spot, but ugh.
You know, you hear all the time about cases slipping through the cracks of CPS. I think that she was one of them.
I think it's a little extreme.
Someone
should have rescued
her from that situation with her dad. If he's teaching her to dip her chicken nuggets and chicken tenders in her soda. Bye.
That's Joe's Need to Know News on the Joe and Alex Show. Radio Now 100.9. Let's see here. You, of course, can follow the Joe and Alex Show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Joe and Alex Show. You can like Radio Now 100.9 on Facebook because that's where we get down to business. This grandma is my hero right here. This, I normally don't like people taking advantage of the system, but I hope one day if I survive, I think I'm going to die young, but if I live old, that'd be awesome because I want to do what she did. A restaurant in Montana offers you your age as a percentage off if you eat there on your birthday. For example, if you're turning 30, you get 30% off your bill.
200% off!
Very close. It was not 200% off, Alex, but check out what Grandma did here. A woman who just turned 109...
109% off!
Kind of perfect. Radio Now 100.9. She turned 109, took full advantage of this Montana birthday discount, so she got her meal for free and got 9% cash back.
9% cash back!
I've lived my whole life waiting for this moment where I could stick it to the man and they're gonna pay me the money they owe me.
This oatmeal has never tasted better.
Helen, that's applesauce. I told you, they don't have oatmeal here.
Bless her heart.
At Mike's Montana Grill.
Mike's Montana Grill. I think we have one of those. No, Ted's Montana Grill is what Indianapolis has.
Yep, I just went with Mike and made it up because of Montana.
It's a made up restaurant. Sorry.
So now that we got some extra money, do you want to go down to the candy store and get some Werther's Originals?
Sorry, they don't make penny candy anymore, Grandma.
Talk to me like you're my old wife, darn it.
Oh, you're the grandpa.
Yeah. I don't think they have penny candy anymore.
What? Yeah, cool story right there on the Joe and Alex Show.
It's the Joe and Alex Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
Colton Underwood was named the new Bachelor yesterday, but he comes with some controversy. The former Oakland Raiders tight end was caught lying about his relationship with Olympic gold medalist Allie Raisman while on The Bachelor. Several women on Bachelor in Paradise also slammed Underwood for not having good intentions, pointing out his past dating history. Can we just talk about the fact that he is also from Indianapolis?
What's wrong with that? You're hating. Why are you a hater?
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm just pointing it out. I'm not hating at all. I'm just saying, like, he was from Indy. Ari Leyendijk, the last Bachelor, was from Indy. Like, we're getting a lot of Indy people.
Is there a mass appeal of, like, a Midwestern guy?
Yeah. Well, that's what I think they're thinking of with Colton. I think that they like the idea of him being, like, the next Sean Lowe or something like that. Like, he's got the whole V-card thing and all this. So I think that's kind of what they're looking for with him. He's got that good old American boy look.
I was reached out to when I was single, but I just couldn't do it.
Sure, yeah.
I couldn't kiss all those girls.
I know. You're just a better person than that. Nicki Minaj appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show yesterday and talked about how many times she likes to flip pancakes during the night.
You know what? It depends. If you have someone that you don't see on a regular basis, it's not like if you're living with the person and you see them every night. But if you see them, you know, like once or twice a week, mm-hmm. then yeah, three times a night. When I see you, three times a night.
Okay.
And if you can hang, goodbye.
Really?
I'm not wasting my time.
When you say three times, is it spread out over the night?
It has to be, well, no more than a half an hour between each thing.
Uh-huh.
Wow, I'd have a gluten allergy if that was the case. That's a lot.
I meant she slammed Travis Scott.
When you were number two behind Travis Scott, it seemed you got upset about that.
But why do people say things like upset or angry? When someone says how they feel, they're not always upset or angry.
Well, what were you feeling?
I felt like I wanted to punch him in his face.
Okay.
That sounds a little upset and angry, but that's just me.
And there is a pizza-related horror movie called Slice, starring Chance the Rapper, that's coming to theaters across the U.S. for one night only on Monday, September 10th. It's set in a mysterious city, and Slice stars Chance as a guy named Dax, who's a werewolf, who is a former Chinese food delivery driver, and it focuses on an enigmatic outlaw who is framed for a killing spree against pizza delivery boys. Ooh,
okay,
cheesy.
That is not as scary as I thought it would be. I thought you'd be like, in a world where there is no more pizza.
That probably would have been scarier. You're right.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex. Parents, our number that I would love for you to call in and let us know what's going on here, 317-239-1009. There are now support groups on Facebook. I just said Facebook, so it makes me sound really dumb.
Yeah, what are you, 65 Peepaw?
I'm 66. But I am blown away, Alex, as are you, that there are actual Fortnite support groups popping up on Facebook. Listen to this story. This is from Good Morning America that parents are dealing with.
My son plays probably several hours a day at this point. And, you know, with school starting tomorrow, that whole plan is going to change because it has to.
One group, Fortnite iParent 101, focuses on educating parents so they know what the game is, how it works, and can better manage their kids' relationship to it.
Many parents in this generation I refer to as digital immigrants. We did not grow up with the internet, and our kids are digital natives. They grew up with it. They don't think anything is wrong about it. I created the group very specifically to give parents a safe place to come in and talk without judgment.
All right, so far that sounds good. Like, I understand that, okay. But it gets even crazier.
Parents are also sharing their Fortnite concerns. One says their son thinks the game is better than going outside.
What?
Okay. I'm out.
Is this real? 317-239-1009.
Another asks what to do if their child sneaks to play it in the middle of the night.
You are the problem. Throw the mom out. Get a new mom. That's the problem. What do you mean, what do you do if your kid is sneaking to play it in the middle of the night? Like, you created this problem. Where were the rules and the parameters set up in the beginning when your child started playing this game?
It is very important to give parents that safe place to come in and get support.
Okay.
So, Alex, but you listened to music you weren't allowed to listen to as a kid. Where was your mom when you would sneak off listening to bad music?
Oh, Alex's mom was a terrible mom that was never there for
her. I'm not saying kids can't play games or whatever. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, we're talking about kids that are addicted to a game, that are playing it all day long for hours and hours and hours. And like that guy just said, they don't want to go outside anymore. You know, that's where it becomes a problem. I think that's different than what I did.
Very specific tips.
Experts say these Facebook groups help to provide a different perspective on parenting.
It is such a relief to connect with other parents who are struggling with the very same questions that you are. And it can really free you up to focus on what to do next instead of sitting around and worrying about what you've done wrong.
And parents say that perspective helps them remember they're not alone.
Okay.
When you post something within this group, you really know that the people that are there are really interested in what, you know, the subject matter is. So that's been really helpful, is just to kind of be connected and engaging with these people that are really dealing with the same issues.
So it's more, so what I'm hearing is the parents need a support group so that they don't feel alone, that they've got these messed up kids, and so they need people to come and coddle their feelings. How about we focus on the issue of, like, your kid has a problem?
I don't think they're saying coddle my feelings, woe is me, I'm a poor
I need to
parent.
Be the parents, I need help from
no,
other parents.
No, they're not, no, I think they don't know what to do. I don't know what I would do. Everywhere I go, kids are zombies. They're just looking at, when I hang out with my little bro Michael, we're finally getting better, I have to be like, dude, let's talk. Like, put your phone down.
This is not rocket science. When your child is really young, you don't just stick a screen in front of their face and give it to them for hours on end so that basically is their babysitter. You limit screen time. I'm not a parent.
Is this a real
but,
problem
like, this
going
to me,
on out there?
Apparently it is, if they've got these stupid support groups for it. But to me, I'm like, this is so stupid. This all could have been nipped in the bud a lot earlier. All you have to do is limit screen time.
All right. 317-239-1009. Alice is on the Joe and Alex show. Alex, what did you want to say?
So I completely agree with Alex. People are nowadays afraid of their kids, dude. You are the parent. Take it away.
Yeah.
I have a 14-year-old that does not sleep with her phone. She brings it down at 9 o'clock, and I go through that bitch at random whenever I feel like it, you know? The video game, my son is a gamer, and his remote controls come down at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. That's all it takes. It's not hard.
It's not us leaving in the room all night. They're kids. If they got a chance to play the game all night, of course they're going to play the game all night. Come on, make it make sense, people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, candy or junk food or whatever. If you give your kid unlimited access to all their Halloween candy every single year, then, yeah, they're going to get sick. If you're giving your kid unlimited amounts of time sitting in front of a screen and playing video games, they're going to get sick of the mind.
I want to hear, though, because, everybody can call in at 317-239-1009. Oh, the parents. And I'm not disagreeing with that, but does anybody actually suffer with this? I want to hear, if you're a parent, like, what is the struggle you have with your kid? Like, is it as bad? Because I feel like this is being hyped up. I don't think there's no way it can be that bad, because I didn't have Fortnite growing up, but I played Call of Duty. I played all kinds of games. Madden, like, we had Xbox, PS, whatever, like, because the systems change. I mean, let's go all the way back to Sega Genesis and N64. Okay? Listen, I had it all.
I think that it is a big problem, like you're saying, Joe, but what I think is that not enough parents are actually seeking help or fixing it. I think that this is a huge problem, but not enough people are joining support groups or whatever to get help.
All
but,
right.
Like, once you're joining a support group for this, guess what? It's pretty much too late.
I don't know, Alex, if it's too late. Hold on. Jackie's on the Joe and Alex show. You're on the east side, and you wanted to comment. What did you have to say?
Yes, I think it's absolutely crazy that these support groups are forming, but I do know that kids, like, they would play this nonstop. I went to a back-to-school night for my kids the other night, and I was looking at a mural, and the kids had to write a six-word memoir about their life, and one of them said, "Fortnite is taking over my life." And I was like, what is going on? Because I know adult men that play it every day, and it's crazy. It's just crazy.
I downloaded the Fortnite app because it's free, but I never played it. First of all, because I was terrible at it. But the second thing is, I'm afraid that it could become addictive, and I don't want to fall into that trap either. Hey, Jackie, thank you for calling into the Joe and Alex show. We appreciate it. Let's take, we'll take more calls. 317-239-1009. John and Fishers, you actually have a son. Does he play Fortnite?
Yeah, he plays Fortnite all the time. Obviously, we limited it, so it's not obscene, but at the same time, he spends a lot of time on there, really just wants to talk to his friends. So, I mean, I think that's the big difference with Fortnite, is it gets kids in a group together so they actually can have a social setting.
But can't
online.
They go outside and have a social setting? I know I sound like, back in my day, John, we walked uphill, but it just bothers me that one kid, you guys hear that, maybe you just tune in, the kid said, I'd rather play online than go outside. What?
Well, in the middle of the summer when it's hot and sticky, I would probably rather sit inside than to go outside myself. So, I mean, I understand that. I mean, I think a lot of parents are sitting around watching HGTV for 4 or 5 hours. I don't think it's a big deal if a kid is playing a video game, as long as it's...
Well, John, to be fair, I wouldn't be talking about this if the kid was addicted to Flip or Flop. That's a great show.
HGTV, I don't blame them, okay?
Yeah, I know. It's like, what house do I buy? I've only got $7 and 8 cats, but I need to get this $1 million house. Please make it happen.
We're getting a lot of tweets. Jared said, this is the second day in a row I'm agreeing with Alex. Y'all, it's a Christmas miracle.
Uh-oh, the world's ending.
He says, if you can't control your kids' time on an Xbox, you are weak. And you are the problem. A safe place to talk about Fortnite concerns is the stupidest thing I've heard in my entire life. Nick says Alex is 100% right. Thank you, Nick. Michelle says my daughter likes to stay in instead of playing outside, but she doesn't do the video game thing. She reads books. And see, I think that's great. I'm not saying video games are bad. For a limited amount of time, all that stuff is fine, playing those games and everything. But for hours and hours on end, that's only making your brain mush. It isn't growing your brain like reading does, you know? So that's the difference to me.
Do you think Liv the Web Girl ever read a book when she grew up?
No, her brain is mush, but yeah. I don't even know that it was video games. I think she was born that way.
It could have been. dropped a few times. Christina, you're calling us today on the Northwest Side. You actually play Fortnite with your son. How's that go?
I do. It's a blast, actually. I'm able to still be relevant in my 11-year-old, almost, you know, going on 16 in his mind. I'm able to be relevant with him, with his friends. He's always bragging about how his mom plays Fortnite. And then his friends are like, oh my gosh, you know, like add me, let's play, whatever. And then since I play, I can also tell his friends' parents, like what the game's about and, you know, what's really going on. And I'm able to kind of moderate who they're talking to. And I'm like kind of a resource for them. But
I think that's
also
great.
A cool mom.
I think that's great. Now, how long are you allowing him to spend playing the game?
So during summer break, he was able, you know, I was a lot more lenient. He was able to play for, you know, like an hour. But during school, he's able to play for 30 minutes. He still has to read. He still has to do his homework. And he is required to go outside and be active because childhood obesity is a real thing. And I don't want to, you know, go from being the cool mom to the bad mom who is, you know, doing something that is harming
now,
the child.
Do you guys have separate or do you share jewels? What do you guys do?
Do we share what? I'm sorry?
See, you said you were the cool mom.
Jewels. He's kidding. The e-cigarettes.
I was kidding around.
Hey, you sound like...
He's 11.
Yeah. Joe's joking. You sound like a great mom. I love everything that you've got put in place. I think you have the exact right formula for how to make this work. And I think that other parents, if they are actually joining support groups and needing help, they should just talk to you because you seem to have it down pat there.
Hey,
for sure. Just send them my way.
All right, Christina, thank you for calling in.
All right, thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Let's talk to Brianna today. Brianna, you're in Greenwood, and you actually got your son off of Fortnite. Why?
Oh, my goodness. I could no longer deal with it. I had a horrible problem with this child playing Fortnite 24/7, but I never realized it was a problem because he gets good grades in school. Teacher never has an issue, so I never really realized how much time he was playing it until one day I looked up and I was like, are you still playing that game? He's played it for 2 days straight. Sleep. Not at all.
What? No sleep?
He did not sleep, and it was over the weekend, so I wasn't paying attention because I'm in school myself, and I felt like a horrible mom, and I had to go ask. I was like, hey, guys, what are you doing? So I posted on Facebook, what do I do? And they're like, Brianna, what'd your mom do? And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So, you
Unplug
know, we got
it.
Him at the STEM Scouts. Yeah, I mean, I didn't throw down the hammer too much, but I went ahead, diverted the attention, you know, got him into STEM Scouts, got him into soccer.
That's great.
And now, you know, it's not as much of a problem anymore. It's like 30 minutes, you're good.
Now, let me ask you this. You said, like, Scouts, do they have, like, a patch you can earn for Fortnite? Because then he's going to have to get back on it.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I tell you what, these kids, if they want to get into gaming, I'm going to need them to go ahead and do it and make that money.
That's right.
If you want to be a gamer, you better get a scholarship off
the bat. Hey, thank you for calling into the Joe and Alex Show. If you couldn't get through, take this to our social media, at Joe and Alex Show on Twitter. Let us know what you think about these Fortnite support groups that are now popping up for parents that are dealing with kids that, well, got a little addiction going. Joe's Journey, we are up to week number 12. Honestly, I keep on almost losing track of where we're at. Last week when I weighed in, I was 376.8 pounds, and that's pretty cool. This week, stepped on the scale today, and I weighed in at 374.4, so I'm down 2.4 pounds this week, so a little whoop whoop in this
woo-hoo,
mother.
Woo.
Now, the cool thing is, because I'm all about the numbers, that's 30 pounds, 30. I'm down since June 20th, so I have to step back and say, wow, that's not bad, because I really, and Alex is talking to me off air, she's like, well, how much do you want to lose per week? I'm like, well, I'd like to lose 10 pounds, but that's not realistic. I didn't put on 10 pounds in a week in
my
life.
So like five would be realistic?
I mean, five would be crazy. Realistic is what I'm doing. Probably 2 to 4 pounds is what I'm going to do.
Well, that's good.
Because, I mean, I'm not going to kill myself working out, but I usually walk at least 3 to 4 times a week for an hour with my dogs. And I haven't been lifting weights the past week. I just been so busy. My schedule's been screwy. I got to get back on track.
Well, then if you lost a little over 2 pounds, then you hit your goal. So congratulations.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that. If you want to follow my journey, you can do that online. Go to RadioNowIndy.com, and there's a Joe's Journeys blog. You can follow me on MyFitnessPal, which I encourage you. It's a great free app. It can track your exercise and your food, everything like that. And you can find me on all my social media on there too. It's Joe Pesh Radio. I'm thinking about it, which I shouldn't even say it unless I'm going to do it, but I'm thinking, if enough people are interested, I'm going to do a video series, a vlog, Joe's Journey on video.
But, like YouTube or what?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel and the link's all on the thing. But here's my thing. I don't know. I see girls always do it. I feel awkward. I'm going to have to start asking either you or Liv or people, other people, Alex, like at the gym to film me.
Yeah, you are. You're going to have to ask people.
Can you come to the? Can you come film me?
Somebody else will do it. That's right there next to you. They won't mind.
I just feel like it's kind of awkward. I don't know. Liv the Web Girl, could you, like, I can give you like $5 or something like that, or pay for your lunch. I need you to start filming me 3 times a week at the gym, like doing my exercises.
I mean, you're paying me, so maybe. But also, if you get a trainer, they would love to do it. That's what the Kardashians do.
Oh, well, duh. Why didn't
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm saying. You need a trainer. I don't know why you are not willing to sacrifice a tiny bit a week in your budget to pay for that. I'm sure that we have had listeners reach out that say they'd love to work with you.
Nobody's reached out.
Well.
See, I think secretly everybody likes like fat Joe. Nobody wants skinny Joe.
Maybe secretly they don't know that you're motivated enough that they'd want you to be a client.
I don't know, I'm a little bit fluffy. Oh, it's fluffy.
Because I think that would be very helpful to you. And I think you would lose a lot more than 2 pounds a week if you had a personal trainer. I don't understand why this hasn't been seriously considered yet. I still don't get it.
Are you scared to get a personal trainer?
No, I've had personal trainers before.
Because, you know, they're kind of mean.
Hard work. Yeah, and they're mean.
Not all of them. The one Alex wants to hook me up with, the 80-year-old lady, yeah, she sounds kind of mean, but other than that, they all seem like decent people.
Miss so. Terry is a boss.
Yeah.
I'm really proud that you've lost 2 pounds this week, Joe.
Thank
Good for you.
You
and that you've continuously like lost. I have a question though. Have you like stopped posting some of your food on Instagram because me and Alex have like
roasted
come at you?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I told Alex this the other day, like, I need support from people. Like, I'm the kind of person that I like when somebody says, hey, good job. Like, that's my love language.
Okay, but right. But don't you understand that we are supporting you by holding you accountable as well as saying good job?
But you don't fully understand, like, the diet I'm on, because sometimes the things that I would eat, you'd be like, oh, my God. Because if I saw somebody like Liz, like, Joe, I'm on a diet. I ate a bacon cheeseburger. I'm like, okay, that's not healthy, but it'll work in that particular situation.
Right.
And the reason I posted that photo at the McDonald's on Broad Ripple is because that's my second home, because those three guys listened to the show.
Right, but you were, okay, yeah.
What?
I mean, you're right. I don't understand the diet.
No, it's a weird diet. I honestly don't fully understand it either. But you know, the one thing I'm getting a lot of DMs from people like, oh my God, your diet's going to kill you.
Maybe it is.
I don't know. Yeah, every day something's going to kill you. You're going to hear tomorrow that chicken nuggets will kill you. Then a week from now, you'll be like, if you want to live to 100, eat chicken nuggets every day.
Oh, no.
Justin on the Southwest side. What's up, my man?
What's going on, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you? What did you want to say?
I will film you for free.
Whoa!
While you're at the gym.
Look at that.
And help you get back on track to lose the weight.
That is so nice.
Justin, I need that because I don't know. Like I have people message me, all like DM me, and like, hey, man, thanks for sharing your journey. But there's so much pressure on me right now that I self-imposed that I feel like if I...
Isn't the pressure good? Isn't that going to help motivate you?
It is, but I honestly hope I'm just motivating one person to try, not even anything drastic, but like, hey, I'm going to try to eat healthier. I'm going to go for a walk today. That's the whole goal of sharing Joe's journey. Otherwise, I could do this on my own. I don't have to talk about everything on the radio. But Justin, are you good at getting those angles? Because I have to like, I want to look somewhat not fat when I'm working out, but I also want to show off like my biceps and my calves are really defined. That's about it.
Sure.
All right, I think
that
I
doesn't sound very convincing.
I think I just lost Justin on this one. Okay,
yeah.
No. All right, man.
Your glutes. Can you zoom up on the glutes?
Good, Justin. Are you on Instagram, bud?
No, I am not. I am on Twitter, though.
Okay. Send either a DM to at Joe and Alex Show, or mine's Joe Pesh Radio. You can find it all at Joe and Alex Show. Hit me up, okay? Let's connect.
Not a problem.
All right, man. Thank you for the support. Appreciate it. All right. That's Joe's Journey, week number 12. I'm into it. I like it.
Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. I'm so into you, I can barely breathe.
Okay, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but I am so into this now. I got it at Walgreens, got the generic one. It's a 5 milligram strawberry chewable gummy. It's melatonin. And this thing, I take two of them, so it's a total of 10 milligrams at night. It has changed my freaking life. It says it takes like 30 minutes or so or an hour. It takes me like 2 hours to kick in, but I took it again last night at like 7:30 or so, and I just slept so good. Like, I'm just finally getting sleep because I don't sleep.
Why didn't you do this for the last couple years?
I tried melatonin in the past. I've tried gummies. I've tried ZQL, where you do it like a shot, like you're at the club. And I might have mixed it with alcohol, but it never seemed to work for me. But this magical strawberry 5 milligram chewable at Walgreens, the gummy, is freaking amazing.
Well, that's good.
It has changed my life. And if you struggle with sleep, oh my gosh, I would check it out. Because I know you've told me about it before, Alex, but something about this just is incredible.
Yeah, and while we're sharing what we're into this week, we want to hear what you're into. 317-239-1009. I'm really into something weird, and you guys are going to make fun of me for this. And I really don't have any way to defend myself for this, so I'll just say it. I'm into babies wearing glasses.
Wait, okay, hold on. Excuse me, explain that again.
Babies wearing glasses. There is this famous YouTuber and blogger named Carly Styles on Instagram who I follow, and she is this little boy named Elliot. I don't even think he's 2 years old yet, and he wears these little glasses, and I'm just so into it.
Oh my gosh, what is wrong with these people?
And I just look at pictures of this little kid all day long. Look at him, Joe. It's the cutest thing when a little kid has glasses.
Does that kid even need glasses?
I don't know. I mean, I think so. Or he would be weird, but like, he is such a tiny baby. You can see pictures of him on our Insta story at Joe and Alex Show, and we'll swipe up to her profile. But yeah, if you have a child that is like under 3 years old that wears glasses, please send us photos at Joe and Alex Show. I am obsessed with it.
Just make it Yo Alex Raps with a Z. I don't know if I want to see all these photos of these kids. You're into some of the weirdest stuff. I got to throw that one out there right there. I just have to let you know.
Sorry, okay. I know I'm weird.
No, it's cool. Let's talk to Katie this morning here. Hey, Katie, what are you into?
I am so into Audible. It's an app. It's a free app where you can purchase audiobooks, or they have a subscription, which is $16.99 a month, and you get one credit for your subscription, which is good for any of their audiobooks. So even if an audiobook is like $60.
Wow, whoa, whoa. Katie, stop. You can have Joan Alexable. We'll do it for $9.99, which is almost $10 a month. What book are you reading? We'll read it to you.
I actually, I listen to a few of them at a time, but you know, now that I'm in my adult years and I don't really have as much time to like sit down and enjoy a good book, I found that, you know, I can still do housework or, you know, exercise. And
Katie, you're avoiding the question. Like, what book? Give me one book that Alex and I are going to read to you.
Right now I'm redoing the Lord of the Rings series.
Okay.
I'm out. You
okay.
Can read her that
one. You know
one.
What? Yeah, stick with Audible.
I know. So especially the ones that are like really hard to get through. Like, I just finished the Game of Thrones series. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, I don't think I could read it through all the way.
Me neither.
I have to go on Audible and listen to like a Dr. Seuss book. That's how bad I am. Hey, Katie in Noblesville, thank you for calling in for what you're into this morning. We appreciate it. Nick, you're in Lawrence. What are you into?
Hi. Love the show, guys.
We love you too, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
What are you into?
I am into jiu-jitsu.
Ooh. Do you teach it or you just go?
No, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for almost a year now at Fisher's BJJ and Boxing.
Can you come to the studio and kick Joe's butt?
Why do I have to get my butt kicked?
Because it'd be funny.
No, it's not.
Hey, anybody that wants it can get it.
Oh, yeah,
bring it. It's jiu-jitsu, daddy.
Jiu-jitsu is hard. Now, explain very briefly in a quick summary why it's different than karate for those that don't know.
So jiu-jitsu is pretty much like wrestling, but with submissions like choke holds, leg locks, arm locks, stuff like that. Basically, you get a takedown. If you're doing a tournament, you get a takedown, secure it, get to a position you want, and try to make the other person tap out.
Now, how has this improved your bedroom life?
It's improved it a lot, actually.
Okay, yeah. There you go. If you've been looking for ways to spice it up, jiu-jitsu will give you some
skills.
Well,
now I'm curious. What's your move in the bedroom? Sure. Please tell me it's not the chokehold.
No. It's not a chokehold. I do other things.
Well, he can lift you around and throw you around.
Hey, I call this my sweeping leg kick. I'll knock you off your feet. Hey, Nick, man. Appreciate you calling in this morning. Liv the Web Girl, what about you? What are you into?
I've been really into these Tone It Up workouts. It's these two girls. They do these workouts, and you can find them on YouTube actually for free. And I do the HIIT workout, the high intensity interval workout, and it's literally like 20 minutes and like the best workout ever. I actually linked it on our Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. If you swipe up, it takes me to the one that I just did last night. So sometimes I'll do one or two of those.
I kind of want to see Alex try to do 5 minutes of this 20-minute workout.
No.
One and two. Oh, I quit.
Guys, we're getting so many tweets right now of people saying that they also love babies in glasses, and somebody has already sent me a picture of their kid in glasses. Look at this little guy. Look at that.
Stop it.
I retweeted it at Joe and Alex Show. I'm so excited. Please keep them coming all day long.
No, this is the only time I'm going to ask you to promote your own social media, not the show's, because we've had enough. All right, that's what we're into here. 317-239-1009. I want to hear from you. Unless this is really hard to talk about, then I understand. But I'm wondering if you do this or if you don't do this. I didn't ask Alex this before I went on the air, but I feel like you might be hesitant to do this. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm hesitant to do everything. Have you met me? I live the sloth life.
Now, this is kind of a product of your environment study here, Alex, but do you love or hate to be hugged?
It depends on the person.
Well, I know it's not from me, because I don't think we've ever hugged. In general, who do you like to hug you?
Well, I like it if the Egyptian hugs me. That's my boyfriend. And that's pretty much it. No, my friends. I'm kind of like weird when my parents hug me. And
that's what I was going to get into. Okay, yeah. Why is it weird?
I don't
for
know.
You?
I've always been like that. And my mom, it always hurts her feelings. Because like, but when I was in high school, I mean, I do hug them. But like in high school, whenever I was still living at home, as soon as I woke up in the morning, my mom would be like, she calls me Lulu. So she'd be like, Lulu, can I have a good morning hug? That's how
no.
she'd talk. And I'm always like, no. Because I hate that. When I first wake up, I don't want to touch, hug, or talk to anybody. What's funny is that I'm actually not a morning person, even though we work in morning radio and do a morning show. I'm ironically not a morning person. When I'm home on the weekends, I don't talk for like the first hour and a half that I'm awake.
317-239-1009. Do you love hugs, or are you kind of like that? You're like, oh, I can't stand them. A new study found that people who were raised by hugging parents were more likely to become huggers themselves. I mean, that makes sense right there. They're saying it's an important element in a child's emotional upbringing. For people raised by, you know, devout non-huggers, the very thought, you know, you're like, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable.
It's weird.
I don't know if I like that.
Because my mom is a big hugger. My dad is not as much of a hugger. They do both hug me, but I'm a half-breed. I'm a mutt.
They say that people that kind of grow up children without, you know, really having the hugging and stuff like that can actually have a problem as they get older in life and develop friends and other people. They also say it goes to affect your overall happiness and how you develop as a person. Everything's generational. Like, my dad never saw his parents, from the stories I've been told. Like, they never kissed or were, I guess, showed affection in front of each other. My dad, I barely remember. I don't think he ever said he loved me. I'm sure he did one time, but I don't remember. I have other buddies all the time.
Man,
like, I
love
you.
So
I love
depressing.
You. But it's just the I agree. It's the house you grow up in. I have no problem saying I love you, but I feel bad for my wife. It's nothing to do with her, but I have a very hard time being intimate with her, or just in any relationship I've ever been with any girl. I'm not a very big hugger. I feel bad. Like, I never like to hug my mother and father-in-law. I'll hug my mom and grandma out of like obligation, but I'm not a big hugger. But I think going back to it, it's kind of what the study says. I didn't really get a lot of hugs either. That's probably why. Liv, I feel like you hug the hell out of everybody.
Oh, I am a huge hugger. Love to hug people. I hang on all my friends. I hug all my friends all the time. Even like my boyfriends, always hugging.
Yeah, that's why she wears a wig. She has lice all the time.
Now, I was wondering how her hair looked that good. Now, let me...
Well, Joe, do you think that your intimacy problems and all of this stuff that you say that stem from the hugging, is that why you sleep at the foot of your bed every night?
No, I sleep on the couch, actually. And no, but I kind of wonder if that is. It's good to see the research. I mean, I don't like it. I wish I was more intimate. But I think it's like if you grew up with it, I think you love hugging. But if you don't, I think it's a weird thing. Now, it doesn't necessarily bother me, but it kind of does. But why? I'll ask Liv in a second. She's getting your calls at 317-239-1009. But why is it, Alex, for example, like, have you ever hugged me in the 2 years we've known each other?
Yes, we have.
I wish we'd hug more. Like, I honestly...
I wish we hugged more.
I honestly think at the end of the show every day before we leave,
no,
you never know
what
could happen the next time we may not see each other.
Sorry.
I think we say like a goodbye hug.
I honestly do not hug people that much. Like, I really don't hug people that much.
All right. Erica on the north side, you're a big hugger. Is this true?
Yes, I am. I love to hug people, especially when I see someone cry. If I'm out in the grocery store and I see someone crying, I'm automatically wanting to go up there and hug them. Just because I was taught that if you hug somebody or just, you know, say, hi, how are you doing? Or just acknowledge them, that can brighten up their day, even if they're having a miserable day.
Now, do you tell them before you hug them, or you just randomly come up to them while they're crying? You're like, I'm going to hug you.
No, I actually ask them, do you mind if I give you a hug, you know, just to make you feel better? And then most of the time they say yes. I haven't had anybody to turn me down for a hug.
Wow. Okay. Maybe I need hugging therapy where I just go around Indianapolis and I have to hug like 1,000 people.
It probably would help. And you probably brighten somebody's day up by just giving them a hug. They might have a crappy day and you saying something to them or hugging them might just brighten their day up. And then, you know, they'll be good to go.
Don't you think it would help the relationship of the Joe and Alex show if every day me, Alex, and Liv the Web Girl gave each other a hug goodbye?
Yes.
Please stop. Hang up.
All right. Hey. Thank you, Erica, for calling into the Joe and Alex show. Let's talk to Alice on the north side. And you love hugs. So did you get a lot of hugs growing up then or what?
I did not get a lot of hugs growing up. I mean, I have a big, big family. My grandmother had 11 kids. And all those kids have kids. Two of my aunts have 10 kids. So my immediate family, my dad passed away when I was young. And my mom... she was just not that hugging type of mom.
Yeah.
You know, she would tell me she loved me after we got into like an argument or something.
Okay.
But it was never anything like real emotional. So, of course, I tell my kids all the time that I love them. I hug them all the time. My daughter was first grade when she was like, you know, mom, don't hug me at school anymore. And I still do. Yes. And she's in high school. Yes, I do.
That's a little embarrassing.
Oh, well, it's life. That's what mothers are for.
Hey, thank you for calling in this morning.
What are the side effects from all the parents that when their kids are little, they tell them that they got their nose and then they grow up? And then what kind of adult do you think they become?
They have cosmetic surgery.
They have plastic surgery addiction.
Yes. Chastity in Greenwood, you're on the Joe and Alex show and you don't want a hug. Why not?
I just think it's weird when strangers like touch you. You know how someone... grandma, you know, if you have a baby and they go to tell you they're so cute, but they have to, like, touch your arm and stuff. Or, like, people from church give you a hug even though you don't really want to be touched because you don't know where their hands have been.
It sounds like it's a germaphobe issue with you. I mean, we're in the Lord's house, Chastity. Like, you're my brother and sister in Christ. We should be hugging. Amen!
Oh,
Lord of Jesus, give me a hug!
That's the worst part about church for me is the going around and just shaking the hands of everybody, all the strangers.
Yes, exactly.
So hugging for sure, no.
I like the wine and the cracker part. That's the best part when they give you food.
You mean the Jesus juice where you passed out afterwards?
Yeah, that was weird though. I don't know what happened there. Hey, Chastity and Greenwood, thank you so much. We'll hear from all you huggers on our social media. It's at Joe and Alex Show.
It's the Joe and Alex Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
Cardi B's physical issues following the birth of her daughter, Culture, might have been more serious than she initially let on. According to court documents obtained by The Blast, Cardi is asking the court for more time to turn over documents and schedule her deposition as part of an ongoing lawsuit where the rapper is being sued over an album cover. In the documents, her attorney says that they need the time because Cardi gave birth to a baby girl in mid-July, but has suffered unanticipated postpartum complications sufficiently serious enough to cause her, among other things, to have to cancel an upcoming and much publicized tour performing with Bruno Mars. And Tyler Perry, of all people, is upping the reward for any info that leads to solving a mysterious case of two missing men in Florida. A former cop is the main person of interest in the case. Perry offered up to $200,000 for any help in the case of the missing Collier County men. Their names are Felipe Santos and Terrence Williams. The story of the two men is a strange one. Felipe Santos went missing in October of 2003 and Terrence Williams in January of 2004, but there's a connection between them. The last person to see them both alive was Stephen Calkins, a corporal with the Collier County Sheriff's Office at the time. He was like a sheriff there. The former cop was seen pulling over Williams in 2004 near a cemetery, but originally told another cop that his car was just abandoned. He even denied having any contact with Williams, but later his story changed and he said that he dropped him off at a gas station. The story of Felipe Santos' disappearance is eerily similar to the Williams case. And this other sheriff, Calkins, was never charged in either of the cases, but they've now been cold for nearly 15 years.
This feels like a Murder Monday case of the future. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's really creepy as hell right
there. So Tyler Perry is offering a reward if you know anything.
No, is this Tyler Perry or Madea?
Well, it's Tyler Perry. Madea is not involved, I don't think.
It is the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now 100.9. Coming up around 9 o'clock, this is juicy stuff.
I don't know if you remember, there is a YouTube vlogging couple. They're YouTube famous. Their names are Sam and Nia.
You love them.
I love them. I watch them every single day. But a couple years ago, there was a lot of controversy surrounding them. They had lost a baby. They miscarried. And then it was a day after they announced that they were pregnant.
Didn't everybody think that was fake? And they did that for attention?
Yes. A lot of people, a lot of tabloids and bloggers and stuff called them out and was like, this couple is faking this for views. It was a super, super awful time for them in their life. And then right after that, I don't know if you remember that Ashley Madison hack. It was that website where...
Tell me about trying to hide that one. Yeah.
Guys were... Yeah, there was a website where married men can go to find women that will cheat, let them cheat on their wife with them. And during that hack... The guy in this vlog, the dad, his name was outed. And so that was a huge tabloid thing. Yeah, it's so crazy stuff. So we are actually going to be talking to Nia, the wife of this couple, coming up in the next few minutes that you're going to want to stick around for. And just basically secret life of a YouTuber, all right? They've got like 3 million subscribers, almost a billion views. So it's going to be interesting just to hear not only how they dealt with all of that adversity, but also just what it's like being a famous YouTuber.
Okay, this... As Alex mentioned, she's not a big football fan, but this is still pretty interesting stuff here. Like, oh, so that's why. I know Liv the Web Girl, you were actually beating the door down. Like, we've got to talk about this. I'm like, well, we're not a sports show, but this is way more than that. Listen to how, I hate to say the word juicy again, but this is intense. It's like, ooh, it's like reading somebody's text messages. We now know why. We got suspicious, but we now know why Pat McAfee quit the Colts. You know, he retired from football. It's like, the guy's got plenty of years left in his leg. He was one of the best punters out there.
Yeah, I always wondered why he quit.
Like, why did he stop? And then, if you missed the announcement last week, he's stepping away from Barstool Sports after 2 years. He was our neighbor, Radio Now.
They share a building with us.
Yeah, we're right there next to each other. So what if they had security that wouldn't let us in because Liv was all creepy and weird?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you did sneak out there to, like, spy on them.
No, I literally did not stop.
All right, check this out. Some of this is from Indy Star. They were talking about it. But Pat McAfee decided last week to end his partnership with Barstool, saying, quote, I began being to feel disrespected by the business people in the building. I've decided I don't want to make money for those folks anymore. Then on his podcast on Monday morning, he talked about feeling the exact same way a few years ago when he was sitting in the former Colts GM Ryan Grigson's office. On Monday after the Colts game on Thanksgiving of 2016, the Colts got blown the F out on national TV. It was the biggest turkey bowl of the day. That's like on Thanksgiving Day. They have all the big football games going on.
Yeah.
He said that's when Grigson asked him to come meet him in his office. And Pat said, you know, he thought maybe this is an olive branch, thinking, you know, if it wasn't for me, we'd be shut out on national TV because he did such a good job. He said, I'm leading the league in almost everything. I don't think I've given a return yard for maybe 2 months, 3 months. That means, if you're wondering too, when he kicks the ball, like, the other team can't even return it. He's doing it so good that he's giving his team time to get down there and make it so the team can't get any yards. So that's really good. That's important. That's a punter's job. He says, I'm the number two selling jersey for the Colts. I'm doing a lot of charity work in the community of Indianapolis. You know, maybe this guy, he's already fined him 3 or 4 times for different things, just dumb crap. You know, maybe he actually wants to get along and be friends. That's what Pat was thinking. Well, that did not happen, according to his podcast. He says, he goes, sit down. I'm like, whoa, okay, what's going on? You know, it's like, okay, this is going to be something that's not good. And the guy sat there and said, okay, we have a problem. So what was the problem? It was a picture that Pat McAfee posted on his social media the week before. Now, what do you think he posted? Because I don't know. Do you know what this is or no? Do you know what he put up there?
No, I don't know what the picture is.
He had the picture on a piece of paper. He slid it in front of Pat McAfee, and he slammed it on the desk, and he says, look at this. And at that moment, Pat's like, okay, F it. I'm done working here. Like, I don't want to be part of this team anymore. What
it's
do you
like
see?
Like him in a gym or something?
Yes, it was Pat McAfee, the photo that was taken of him. It was him in a football room for the Colts. It was him just doing like a pose. It was nothing inappropriate.
Like a selfie.
Yeah, kind of.
Somebody a mirror selfie.
Somebody took it of him, but yes. And he pulled up the guy, Pat's contract and said, okay, here's the clause right here, blah, blah, blah. It's just like if we have contracts for our job, if they want to fine us or fire us. And it says, okay, well, I could fine you, you know, one of your paychecks, which is like $100,000 for one game.
Just for taking a picture inside a Colts facility.
Because it broke whatever he agreed to do. And he's like, because I took it in the football room? Yeah, he's like, well, it says right there you're not supposed to. So they just went back and forth. And this is where it gets absolutely insane. But that's when Pat made up his mind, like, okay, I'm done with this. But this is when Pat went all in. This is one of those epic things. Everybody talks about how you quit a job or what you say. Like, oh, well, I'd tell them this or I'd tell them that. I don't have the balls to do this, but this is incredible. All right, I'm going to read it, what it says. I said, you pay a guy $140 million and you can't keep him healthy. He's talking about Andrew Luck.
Oh, okay.
You know, he says, McAfee said, your offensive line is Swiss cheese. He's like, he's blown on his shoulder three times and you're worried about this spit? You know, like Pat's photo, like, this is your biggest problem? He goes, what did you just say to me? Pat said, oh, yeah, I'm the best in the game at what I do. I wish you would do the same. Oh,
wow.
This is a moment he did not expect. He goes, you're going to walk into my office and disrespect me? Pat said, you called me in here. He said, I'm going to fine you a whole game check. And then Pat said, cool, bro, and literally walked out of the office. As he walked out, he gave me the get out of my office. I go, I'm already walking out. And here's the thing. It's just like, I didn't realize like that. Pat McAfee just had such a big, you know, big cojones right here. He said he walked down to the coach's office, Chuck Pagano, and he said, hey, if you had anything to do with that coach, you can go F yourself too. Dang!
Mic drop. Mic drop.
Slap it on the table. And the coach actually didn't know about this. So good for Pat. That's two situations, unfortunately, where he felt with the management previously with the Colts and then most recently with the behind-the-scenes like management people at Barstool where he's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. So those are two different times he kind of quit or walked away from his job. And maybe you didn't do it that way, but how did you quit your job? How did you walk away?
Was it epic?
Oh, God, I'd love to hear your story. Or maybe just like you had a coworker that had an epic thing. I'll share mine coming up next. Do you have any stories or are you kind of lames over here?
My best friend didn't want to work at Build-A-Bear because she was really hungover and she was just over it. And so she had her mom call in and quit for her.
Wow.
We were 19 years old. We were in college.
First of all, I can't believe her mom would do that.
I can't believe her mom would do that.
Yeah, talk about psychos.
Mine's way crazier than that. But 317-239-1009. That's how Pat McAfee kind of quit, walked away from the NFL, and then last week walked away from Barstool Sports. What about you? 317-239-1009. I want to hear, like, I quit this murder!
I mean, I didn't quit, like, epically. Like, I didn't yell or swear at anybody. But when I took this job to co-host the Joe and Alex show, I was under contract at another radio station, and they tried to sue me for $5,000. And they said, if you walk out of this door, we're suing you. And I said, okay. And I walked out. So, I mean, I just said okay, and I stood my ground, and I was real scared, but I did it. But, I mean, I didn't say anything epic like Pat McAfee did.
$5,000? I'd still be paying that off if somebody sued me. I'm
like, well, they wanted me to pay it out of my pocket, too. I was like, no.
Take that out of my paycheck, sucker. 317-239-1009. What is your story? How did you quit? How did you leave the job? Let's go to Andrew on the south side this morning. Let's hear your story. What'd you do?
Hey, yeah, good morning, guys. So I was just coming back. I had my third daughter last year, and the company went through a round of layoffs. And so they called me in. I was only back about a week, very unexpected. And they said, hey, we've got to let you go. Unfortunately, we've had to make some cutbacks. And I was fed up with the company at that point. I kind of saw the writing on the wall. And I took advantage of my opportunity. I had the president of the company in the room and the senior vice president of sales. And I just let them know just everything that was breaking down with the organization. And I definitely threw a few F-bombs and let the New York come out of me a little bit.
Ooh, yes.
Did it feel good?
I definitely. Oh, man, it was the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, it sucked immediately after, you know, realizing I got three kids at home and I had to go find another job. But I knew I had that covered. It was a real challenge. Was I put everything into it for this company, and you know, they just didn't want to. They didn't want to take care of me as their employee. So I wasn't going to let them get away with that. I wasn't going to let them continue to feed their own pockets and not take care of the people around them. And, you know, continue to point fingers at people that weren't responsible for what was wrong.
Andrew, man, that's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear that that you did that. Good for you, buddy. Thank you for calling in this morning. I have a little story. When I quit House Off Cloth Car Wash, let me tell you about that. It was the greatest job ever. I was working part-time on radio, but I also worked at a car wash. It was a gas station, and we detailed cars.
Did you take a dookie on somebody's hood?
Exactly.
You said, watch this.
Watch what I'm going to do to your car. How do you like that wax job? No, I just remember, I think these are the best quitting, when you quit in front of everybody. Everybody was like getting their gas pumped. It was a busy day getting car wash lined up. And I was like, I don't remember exactly what I said. I know I didn't swear because I chickened out. But I was like, this place sucks. You suck. I quit.
No way.
Yes. And I ended up coming back to work there about 6 months later.
Why? They hired you back?
I was a good employee. I just had a really bad day. Yeah, I actually got hired and fired there twice.
Oh, wow.
But it was just funny because like everybody's like, damn. Like those public meltdowns to me are the best actual ways to quit something. Have you ever wondered what the secret life of a YouTuber was like? Today, we're actually going to find out here on the Joe and Alex Show. We're talking to Sam and Nia Raider from Sam and Nia on YouTube today, and they also happen to be one of Alex's favorite YouTubers. Alex is going to kill me for this, Nia. Alex has been losing her mind for about, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half. Oh my God! Which you wouldn't suspect talking to her, but you're a huge fan, Alex.
Yeah, I am. And what's really cool about Sam and Nia is they're a Christian family. They've got 3 kids under 10 years old. They live just outside of Dallas in Terrell, Texas. And they're kind of known for putting crazy stuff in their swimming pool. You've probably seen videos of that. And they're also really transparent about their shortcomings and how God's saving grace has continually changed their lives. And Nia, I don't know if you put this together, but a couple years ago when Juliet was born, I mailed you guys a card and a onesie.
Oh, and, no, I haven't put that together.
Yeah, and my coworkers at the time all roasted me for that. They're like, what kind of psychopath are you? You're sending some family in the mail a onesie for their baby that you don't know. And I was like, well, I feel like
yeah,
I know
put
them.
On this baby onesie with anthrax. That's not creepy at all.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I did that. But it's funny because listeners say stuff to me all the time, like that they feel like they know me. And so it's weird for me to be on the other side of that because that's how I feel about you guys. But you guys have profoundly changed my life in so many ways. Nia, when I watch you, I'm constantly taking mental notes about what kind of mother I want to be one day. I watch Sam and I think like I want to marry somebody just like him and the kind of husband that he is to you and the kind of dad that he is to your kids. And I went on this dating show on Fox in 2016. And while I was on this stupid deserted island and I had to like really analyze my dating life and all these different things, it occurred to me while I was there when I had gone 5 weeks without watching your vlogs, which is the longest that I've ever been, by the way, without watching them. I knew that I just wanted what you guys have, and I decided in that moment that dating someone who wasn't a Christian was going to be a deal breaker for me from now on, and ever since then I've stuck by that decision. And now I'm dating an amazing Christian guy who, when I've had a really bad day, will be like, do you want me to watch Sam and Nia with you? And I'm like, yes.
Oh my gosh. That's so sweet. Thank you. That's so kind of you to say.
Yeah, so it's all kind of come full circle. And you also made a Sam and Nia from a viral video that they did a few years ago where Sam actually surprised Nia by telling her that she was pregnant when she didn't know, only to devastatingly lose their baby a few hours later. So I wanted to start out with that. You guys have had so many very private and painful things in your life end up public, including a rough spot in your marriage that was really highly publicized. And after that, you guys decided to take a short break from YouTube and then ultimately came back. It would have been so easy to walk away from all of that. So why didn't you?
You know, I think in those situations, God is just trying to teach you something. And more than that, he's giving you a story and a testimony. And for us personally, we already had such a platform. It's like, why quit now? This is the whole purpose behind, you know, anything that went viral that was silly, like the pregnancy announcement and the frozen good-looking couple lip sync videos. All of that was just leading up to us being able to, I believe, publicly share what it's like to endure hard times as a young Christian married couple.
And you guys actually decided a few years ago to quit your jobs because Sam was a nurse, right? And then were you just making wreaths and stuff?
Yep, I was just a stay-at-home mom that has to keep busy. And so I started an Etsy shop and it kind of just took off even before the vlog happened. And a couple years into vlogging, I really felt the call to just step away from all of that and focus on the family, focus on my home. And It's been a huge blessing to be able to do that with Sam by my side, working as a team every day.
We're talking to Nia from Sam and Nia. You definitely have seen them on YouTube. They have almost a billion views, 2.5 million subscribers. They have about 2.5 million more than we do, which is it was pretty impressive. I just want to know, these are all interesting stories, but how did the channel even begin? And how did you get to 2.5 million views? Like, what was the process of starting this? Take us to the beginning.
We were just singing along to some Frozen songs with our kids in the car. And we kind of looked at each other and like, hey, we kind of know this really well from listening to it so much. We should make a fun video. So we did it, and I totally was not expecting it to go viral. That was 100% unexpected. I think Sam maybe had an idea because he's more the technological, creative type. But that's really where it started. It just took off. That video went kind of ridiculously viral overnight, and you know, after that we had people commenting saying, you guys should vlog, we would love to see what you do every day. And I had no idea what that even was. I'm like, what is a vlog? So we researched it, and of course we came across, you know, the Shaytars and other families who vlog every day, so we decided to give it a try, and we just kept going. We just kept going with it every day and built it up over time, had a couple more popular videos scattered throughout, and God has just been really good to grow our audience and bless us with this platform.
And that's when you guys kind of decided to quit your jobs and pursue it full time. I mean, when you're relying on views to make a living, what is that pressure like to constantly have videos that go viral? Because that's how you're making money. So is that overwhelming to be like, I need a video that goes viral to be successful?
You know, actually, it's funny because this is something that people don't really see on the internet, but one thing that our community at church walks pretty closely to us is prayer through this specific topic, that we wouldn't feel the pressure of performing daily, and that we would remember it's a ministry before it's a career or, you know, financial income. And so, yeah, definitely there's pressure, and there's definitely times where we're kind of, just kind of like burnt out. That's what I'm looking for. And it's just something we just stay in community with people that surround us and in prayer over, like, what should we be doing? When should we be doing it? And I definitely consider all good creative ideas that mostly happen on Sam's part. I consider that a gift from the Lord. You know, I was just kind of like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we're supposed to do. And it may just be fun and silly, but we're going to go with it.
I feel like that's got to be tough because, I mean, I can't tell you how often here on the Joe and Alex show, we will read a story and it's not funny. It's something stupid that usually guys would do. Like, they're trying to get YouTube views, but they're making their kids cry and all this stuff. And it's good to see that you guys haven't really changed anything and people have bought into it and really enjoy watching it.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's definitely hard because you feel that the need to like keep up with clickbait and things that people want to click on that's dramatic. And I, you know, we've definitely had our moments where we've done that, but for the most part, we keep it really real and honest and raw.
So speaking of that, what happens when, because you have kids and they're little, go over your kids' ages for those that may not be familiar with your family real quick.
I have an 8-year-old daughter, a 5-year-old son, and a 2-year-old daughter.
And what happens when they're having a day where it's just full of temper tantrums and no one wants to be in a good mood and be fun for filming? I mean, do you say like, everybody get it together, mommy and daddy have to do their job? I mean, like, what are you saying?
I mean, oh man, that's tricky. We definitely take that one day by day because there have been times where someone's just having a bad day and we have to really like decide, do we want to show this and show how we parent at the risk of, you know, putting our kids out there? Because, you know, one day they're going to look back on it. They're going to be teenagers and their friends might see it. Or we just, you know, with the oldest, my 8-year-old, we can sometimes talk to her and like, look, I know this is annoying. This is really not something you want to be doing right now, but it's better than, you know, mommy and daddy going to the office from 8 to 5 and you staying with a babysitter or whatever. So it's just, you know, we take it day by day and we definitely kind of work around what each child is feeling and their personalities. It's tricky.
Yeah, so the other day you actually decided to leave footage in of Abram, your 5-year-old who's in pre-K, having meltdowns on the vlog. And then you guys got a really rude comment from a viewer that Sam read talking negatively about Abram. And for the record, I actually love when you guys keep tantrums or disagreements that are like just small between you and Sam in the vlog, because I think it makes you seem more human to me. And that's one thing that I think makes you all stand out against other famous vloggers is the willingness to be so transparent. And you actually have a blog that you publish stuff on besides your YouTube channel, and you wrote note about how you've been working on not yelling at your kids. And can I just tell you that I was shocked to see that, because in all the years that I've watched you guys, I have never once heard you raise your voice at your children. It is something that my best friend and I talk about all the time. Like, oh my gosh, Nia is a perfect mom. She's so patient with her kids. We've never seen her raise her voice. And that would have been so easy to not tell anyone about. Like, you don't have it in vlogs. You could have easily not written a blog about it. So why did you decide to share that?
You know, just for that very reason. There are so many moms commenting, like, I wish I was a mom like Nia. I wish I was always patient and always fun and creative. And I'm like, look, y'all are seeing, like, 10, 15 minutes of my day. And, you know, like, it's kind of like Facebook. Like, you don't post pictures of you and your boyfriend when you're fighting. You post, like, cute pictures when you're out on a date, or, you know, here and there on a trip or at a game, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just like, it's not something that we share often on the vlog, especially myself. I'm a little embarrassed about it. I've been working on it. But I definitely just want that out there. Like, you're going to have these moments, and it's okay, and you can't beat yourself up about it. Otherwise, you're going to spiral into this, like, horrible mindset and routine of how you are with your children if you just, like, focus on the negative. And I just want other moms to realize how regular we are, and that it's not perfect just because you see, like, the best 10 minutes of our day, you know?
Totally. Nia, it's Joe here, the Joe and Alex Show. And I just got to be frank here. I hope you can help me out, because I'm always trying to record stuff with my wife, and she's like, get the camera out of my face. I'm just wondering, can you give me a ballpark? Like, how much money can I make when I'm doing these vlogs? Like, can I make a mil a year? What are we talking here?
It varies. You know, there are seasons when things are really good and productive, and then there are seasons when things are low and you have to focus more on outside integrations, like working with other brands and doing things with other companies, because it definitely fluctuates. We've been blessed to stay home and be able to make this a work at home thing. But it varies. I don't think I've ever talked to a vlogger that they make about the same amount of money.
Everyone's different, yeah. Now, your kids didn't sign up for all this filming, so we kind of talked about this. Once your kids are teenagers, if they're just like, I do not want any of my life on YouTube, what is your all's game plan with that?
I don't know. I guess just cross that bridge when it gets here.
Well, Nia, I'm so excited that I got to finally talk to you. I just look up to you guys so, so much, and I highly encourage anyone listening, whether you're a mom or not, your kids will love their channel too. Go check out Sam and Nia on YouTube. They are an awesome couple. They will make you laugh, and they're super inspiring, and I watch them every single day. They put out a vlog almost every single day. So I would highly encourage you to follow them, and we will link everything for you on our website, RadioNowIndy.com, where you can listen to this podcast and share as well.
Hey, Liv the Web Girl, our producer. You didn't let Alex get the number, right, for Nia?
No, definitely not. Okay. Not going to let her hands on
Nia,
that.
Nia, you still might want to update your cell phone number if that's the number you gave us for this interview. I'm afraid Alex having it now might be a little creepy.
No. It's been so fun keeping up with you too, Alex, and getting to know you on social media.
Joe, let's end this just like Sam and Nia end their vlogs every day.
Okay. That's all, folks.
No. Remember, he loves you. And remember to love each other. You'll get it. Ban-a-bow, ban-a-bow,
ban-a-bow. So I am thinking about not coming to the photo shoot today.
You have to come.
I don't want to, though.
Why? It's you, of all people, have been complaining about how you haven't had a nice new headshot.
Well, I don't feel like I look good today. I'm having one of those days. Let's reschedule it.
You got a new beard trim. Your head is nice and bald, freshly bald.
Yeah, I'm going to have to shave my head because the hair grows out. Like, I got like the 5 o'clock shadow, but on my head.
Well, everybody better show up, because I'm going to get my hair done. I'm getting a blowout, my extensions put in, going home, getting ready, changing, coming all the way back. So I better not be coming here for nothing.
Joe, I just say we let her have a solo photo shoot.
That's what I think.
I'd be fine with it.
That's what she really wants.
Oh, it is. It's like, you're going to wear this, blah, blah, blah. I'm the photo shoot Nazi, blah.
It's going to look great. I'm very excited. We desperately need new show
photos.
But
I don't know how to do show photos. Or like.
They tell us. The photographer will tell us. They're the professional. They'll tell us how to pose, and we'll have to fake laugh about potatoes and sweaters and all kinds of stuff.
I was looking at like old photos that we did a couple years ago, and we're like,
that's how it's supposed to be.
Joe, I am so awkward, and I'm the least photogenic person in the world.
No, you're not. You're gonna be like, yeah.
No, right. I'm so unphotogenic, so we can just suffer together.
Listen, if the photographer doesn't know how to direct us, I will. So don't worry.
Great.
I need you to be fiercer, Joe. You're fierce.
Everybody look at each other and fake laugh. See, that was a great pick.
Okay, I can do that then. All right. Well, we got to go get camera ready. So we're out of here. Hunter's coming in next. Let's say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.